Welcome to Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. It's great to have your company. Last weekend, a celebration for a project considered a huge win for the environment was slightly marred by protests. But it wasn't the transformation of a 24-acre former rail yard in Milwaukee's Menominee Valley into a park that was at issue. As Three Bridges Park officially opened its bridges last Saturday, protesters showed up to broadcast that a tenant just below the park has been cited for Occupational Safety and Health Administration, or OSHA, violations. Their target is Palermo's Pizza, one of the first companies to bring its operation into the valley. WUWM's environmental reporter Susan Bentz was on the scene, watched the events unfold, and filed this report.
Lots of people were queued up at the park's easternmost bridge, the one that links the Mitchell Park domes to a series of trails, one for biking, another for pedestrians, and then the vast man-made terrain that's destined to become an outdoor classroom along the Menominee River. As we formed a human and bicycle parade, strategically designed to meet up with people launching from bridges 2 and 3, a few individuals quietly worked the crowd, passing out flyers.
Palermo's Pizza Factory is right next door. There's 30,000 pounds of ammonia. The OSHA federal government has cited them for the safety hazards. They're fighting that. It's exactly what caused the big disaster in West Texas.
The protesters' words faded as we were swept into the crowd along the sun-drenched landscape. The ceremony opened with Menominee River Partners Executive Director Laura Bray's welcome. That group, along with a bundle of public and private partners, pulled off this project, along with enticing businesses to repopulate the once blighted valley below.
It just takes my breath away, and I hope it takes your breath away.
A blast, and then a voice echoed through the park. The amplified words of Brian Rothgary bounced along the native plant-seeded hills.
30,000 pounds of ammonia that is
on site. The union organizer has been more than a little involved in the safety and strike issues that have embroiled the pizza operation for months. In a flash, Rothgary was spirited away, and the ceremony continued. A stream of partners and dignitaries took their turn at the official microphone. When he stepped up, Forest County Potawatomi Chairman Harold Gus Frank acknowledged American citizens' right to share views, including Rothgary.
Had his concerns heard by hundreds of people, and for years and years, I believe that the responsible citizens for the city of Milwaukee was trying to have their voices heard, saying, we need to do something in that valley to clean it up.
The ribbon cutting achieved, the crowd slowly dispersed, some to check out kayaks moored on the river, others to grab free ice cream or to have their face painted. Erica Wolf pressed a press packet into my hand.
There's a letter from the steelworkers saying, what's up with this discrepancy? There's the
volunteer motored in from Madison and says she's one of 30 protesters on the scene. She deems OSHA's call on Palermo's urgent.
What's going on is that there's been discovered a huge discrepancy in reporting. They have 30,000 pounds of ammonia on site here, and they've been cited for serious safety procedure training violations. And on the city's record, they have their worst-case scenario that only 1,300 pounds could leak and or explode and cause a problem. But we know there's 30,000 pounds on site because they've reported that to the EPA. So what we're wondering is why is this discrepancy there? Because the difference, I mean, though they're both catastrophic situations, the difference is huge because 1,300 pounds, a leak would, you know, within 1 minute would affect a 1.2-mile radius from right where we're standing. Right here you can see the building. And If 30,000 pounds were to explode or leak, that would affect a 6-mile radius within 1 minute, which is all the way to the lake, and then in the other, in every direction, right? And so we're saying this is a public safety risk for the entire city of Milwaukee.
Evan Zeppos dismisses Wolf's assessment as outrageous claims and scare tactics. I reached the Palermo's spokesperson by phone. Zeppos says the anhydrous ammonia, 29,500 pounds of it, used at the pizza factory, is a component of the company's sophisticated closed-loop refrigeration system. He adds it's 7 years old, and they've never had a problem.
It's monitored 24 hours a day. We have an emergency response plan in place that protects the employees and the community. And if there were any sense of true seriousness of these concerns as people who are trying to hurt the company try to make it, you know there would be a lot more attention from the regulatory authorities.
Zappos says since OSHA notified the company on May 17th, Palermo's has been providing the agency with information. He describes OSHA's concerns as administrative, not operational.
It wasn't that OSHA said there's a problem with emissions or anything like that. They wanted further documentation on our training programs. They wanted further documentation on our system review. Not that it was bad. Not that there was something wrong. Not that there was a leak. Not that there was anything else. We take it seriously, though. I don't want to minimize it.
Representatives from OSHA said they were not able to grant an interview on the active case, but states Palermo's Pizza is contesting the violations that could be resolved through an agreement. However, it opens the door to a possible formal hearing process. Whenever more than 10,000 pounds of anhydrous ammonia are stored or used, additional OSHA safety standards click in. The agency wants to make sure workers know how to protect themselves, including how to recognize a leak in the system. According to OSHA's website, refrigerant-grade anhydrous ammonia is classified as non-flammable. However, quote, ammonia vapor in high concentrations will burn. It is unlikely that such concentrations will occur except in confined spaces or in the proximity of large spills, end quote. In its citation notification to Palermo's, OSHA called for violation abatement by August 16th. For Like Effect, I'm Susan Bentz.
WUWM's environmental reporter Susan Bentz filed that report on last weekend's protest against Palermo's Pizza at Three Bridges Park in the Menominee Valley. Musicians from Wisconsin and beyond gathered just north of Madison this summer to learn about a music education technique from Switzerland. Lake Effect's Amy Kiley stopped by the Wisconsin Center for Music Education in Wanakee to experience Dahlkrows.
This is not a typical music class. Stacks of hula hoops and bags of colorful balls lie under tables overflowing with percussion instruments. Tables and chairs line the walls, but they're empty. Adult participants are in the middle of the room, dancing barefoot. This is a Dahlkrows workshop. Swiss composer and teacher Emile Jacques Dahlkrows created this movement-based music education technique to give his students a better understanding of the pitches and rhythms they were performing. He wanted them to hear music better and to have a physical understanding of their art. In this exercise, students are singing a song while moving to changing meters. They're dividing the beats first into three sets of two, the meter 3-4, and then into two sets of six, or 6-8. Teaching today's class is Dr. Kathy Thompson. Until recently, she was head of the Dahlkrows Society of America and editor of the American Dahlkrows Journal.
Dahlkrows eurythmics really involves three different branches. Eurythmics, which is the movement in music part, and solfège, which is the singing and hearing and the aural training, and then improvisation, both with gestures and on instruments and with voice, all meant to be intertwined.
Thompson sits at a keyboard to demonstrate how Dahlkrows inspires movement that reflects a kinetic musical understanding.
The musical body can teach the mind things that the mind can't learn on its own. And so if I want people to feel a beat, I can have them walk to the beat. If I want kids to run, we were building a house and we had these large imaginary cranes. You can get great movement from kids that you would never get. I had them do, for example, a ball passing exercise. They were able to pass a ball, and I didn't have to say anything.
Thompson says once students can feel tempo, rhythm, and even pitch, they can then approach music with more comprehension. Joan Parisi notes this connection helps not only performers, but also audience members. She's a student in today's Dalcroze workshop, but she's been a music teacher for decades.
Dalcroze starts off with listening to the music, feeling the music, and then works into reading the music. So even students that might not be able to read the music still can have a great appreciation for it because they understand it better.
Cecil Salcedo teaches music at a Montessori school in the Philippines. Musicians have spread Dalcroze worldwide, and Salcedo uses it with her students back home. But the workshops aren't as prevalent as those for other educational methods. Today's workshop is a way for Salcedo to freshen her skills while she's in the U.S. for a performance with some of her students. She notes that Dalcroze is a fun way to experience music, and not just for kids.
I feel like a child again, a student. I truly experience what the kids are doing in our schools. It's so magical.
For people who want to experience a concert with a dose of Dalcroze, Thompson offers this advice.
Call the management in advance and say, rip out the seats and let us move.
Back in the middle of the room, that idea seems to work well for today's participants. For Lake Effect, I'm Amy Kiley.
In addition to reporting for Lake Effect, Amy Kiley serves as a local choral conductor. There are links to the Dalcroze Society of America and the Wisconsin Center for Music Education at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. We'll take a short break now, and then a local historian pens a novel that's steeped in the real-life events of the American Civil War. We'll be back with that in just a moment on Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio.